Well, please do remember me in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word. Some weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago, I was there at the house and we were sitting on the patio. And I have a place out kind of in the fairly close to the edge of a field where I go and dump table scraps. I have kind of some motives for doing that. I enjoy hunting, and occasionally I get to pick off a predator every now and then. But I put these table scraps out in this location, and I've come out of the back door and off the patio, and I've walked a straight line to that spot. And my son asked me, he said, "Daddy, do you have a footpath worn out there?" Well, at the time, I couldn't see a footpath. I didn't notice a footpath. The other night, went out late to dump table scraps, and it was a bright moon, and I had made my way out there and started back, and on my way back I was noticing a difference in the grass there in the field, and I got to looking at it, and I stopped for a moment. And there was a footpath that was worn. And it was visible. And it's even more noticeable now that I have taken note of it and seen during the daytime. But that night, with the moonlight, I saw that path. I saw that footpath. And I could tell, as I was walking without aid of light, I had no flashlight on, I could see that path, the difference in by the lighting. Could tell where it was. And it put some things in my mind, and I desire your prayers, the Lord, to bless the burden this morning about we have a path, your path. And I want us to consider that this morning, your path. I'd like to turn to the book of John, 3rd chapter. And we'll read a few verses here, beginning with the 3rd. Nicodemus came by night to see Jesus, and they had a conversation between the two of them. In the 3rd verse, Jesus says this to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And dropping down to 6th verse, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. For you and me to be able to find a path in life, and to walk that path, to navigate that path, we need to be born again. We need to be able to see the kingdom of God. We need to be able to keep a focus on where the path is leading. And if we will keep our focus on where that path will lead us, then we can find strength, courage, to continue to walk that path. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 says this, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." The path of the just. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. Except a man is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Without having that enlightenment, Without having that understanding, you can't really successfully navigate through life on the path that God has laid out for you and be successful. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Adam Clark had comment like this. This verse, he says, contains a fine metaphor. It refers to the sun rising above the horizon and the increasing twilight till his beams shine full upon the earth. Now, I've been out in the woods early, early morning before daylight. And I've been out in the woods and the edge of the fields late in the evening waiting for dark to fall before I gathered up my things and headed back to the house. I told you I like to hunt some. I'm not an avid hunter, but I hunt some. But here's one of the things that I have found. Many is the time that I have been out sitting in a stand early, early morning, before daylight, before I even began to see the change in the eastern sky. And as the sky begins to change and you start to hear a little bit of activity around you and you start detecting some motion and a little bit more of that light, that when that twilight starts to come, many's the time that I have seen things that weren't there. You? Because the light's not clear. I've sat there many times. I've sat there and waited. A little bit more light, please. Just a little bit more light. Because if I get a little bit more light, I can see him and I can put my scope on him and I can get a shot. And wait for that light and wait for that light and wait for that light. And what I thought I saw isn't there. It was a bush. Or it was a tuft of grass. But all that was obscure. Same thing in the evening. Same kind of thing in the evening. You wait in the evening. I've sat in a box or in a stand in the evening and you're looking out over an area that's very familiar to you. You're familiar with the surroundings and you know the area very well. You know the bushes, the trees, the grass. But as that light begins to fade away, there's something that happens when that light fades away that I'm not sure. I think I see something there. And you pull up a rifle and you look through the scope and you look. No, that's not what I thought it was. It's that way because in that twilight, in that light that is so dim, your eyes start playing tricks on you. You don't really see the things that your mind thinks is there aren't really there, but it's because of what the dim light situation. The only way, folks, that you and I are going to be able to be successful in living for our Lord is to be able to, and to navigate things in life, is to be able to have understanding from the Lord. To be able to have, as was mentioned a few moments ago, purpose. To be able to have a hope at the end of the journey. To be able to have something that holds us steadfast and sure. The scripture in Isaiah 26:7 says, "The way of the just is uprightness. Thou, most upright, dost weigh the path of the just." The path of the just. We all know, we're all familiar with how helpful that natural light is. I've done a little mechanic work through my life, and many times have I wished for more complete light. There have been times whenever I would be trying to work on something, looking for something, trying to use a flashlight, trying to use a fluorescent light, trying to use some type of light to illuminate. But the most success I have had in being able to really see things is when I push the vehicle out of the garage and get in the natural light of the sun, the one that God created, and I can see things so much clearer. Colors are like they should be. The distinctions are like they should be. Less shadows. When the natural light is there, the light that can bounce from the ground up and just from all directions, that natural light, how much benefit there is from having the natural, God's light God, the life that God created, the sun, how much more benefit there is from that. And I think of the times, and we have in the Scriptures, in the all of the things that happened because people had a purpose, because God had a path for them to walk. And when they walked that path through life, and sometimes, I'm going to go over a few things here with you, the path sometimes that God lays out before you and that He has laid out before His people seems as though you'll come to places where it looks impossible. Children of Israel, in their exodus from Egypt, when they began to march away, do you remember what they came up against? The Red Sea. Who was behind them? Pharaoh and his armies. What was their complaint? Moses, why did you bring us out here in this wilderness to die? Look what's behind us. Now, there are things that are going to come to you in life that are going to strike fear in your heart. I have had fear struck in my heart. Very likely you have had it in your heart because of things that you face as you're going through the path, walking the path that God has laid out for you to walk. You come up against things that looks impossible. And you have fear that is just struck in your heart. How are we going to get by this? The Israelite nation at this point had fear in their hearts. They didn't look like there was any way for them to find a way, a path across that sea. It was an obstacle before them. There was too many of them to get on boats, make boats. And they couldn't go around it. Pharaoh and his armies behind didn't have time to go around it. But they had to find a way somehow for deliverance. Folks, sometimes it's going to come to a place in your life where you're going to run up against something that's going to strike fear in your heart and it looks like there's no way. But this was the path that God had chosen for this people. He had a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. And He maneuvered that pillar of fire and cloud around, behind, and between the Israelites and the Egyptians. He caused a wind to blow all night long. And He made a path across that sea. The Scripture says that they went across on dry ground. But that's not all that happened. That Pharaoh and his army, the enemy, folks, the enemy of our souls is always pressing behind. He's always doing those things to cause us to fret. He's always doing those things because we know how life is. We know how things happen. We look at natural things. That's about all we have to base natural things off of and natural experiences. I know that I can't swim that sea. I know that we can't go around that sea and beat Pharaoh and his army. They're on horses and chariots, and we're people marching, walking. We don't have army. We don't have tools of war. We don't have those things, but they do, and here they come. So what's our hope going to be? Those are the things that strike fear in our heart. But stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So He made a path through the sea. Pharaoh and his armies pursue behind them. And you remember what took place when they got in the middle of it all. Things started happening to Pharaoh and his army. The wheels started coming off of their chariots. And the Scripture says that they drave them heavily. Well, there was partly a reason for that because they were now, the wheels coming off, we're panicking. We see we're in trouble here in the midst of this sea. The walls of water collapsed on Pharaoh and his armies. And they were dead men. Jordan River. Goliath. David with Goliath. Standing out there as a young man, and here's Goliath, a man of war, a soldier, a man that was a giant. He had armor. He had a spear that had to have somebody to carry his spear. He had a shield that he had to have somebody to carry his shield because he was such a big man. His shield and his spear were so heavy. And David came before Goliath. Goliath looked at him and laughed at him and said, "What is this? Am I a dog that you've come out to me with these sticks?" What did David say? "You come to me with a sword and with a spear, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he picked up 5 smooth stones and he put them in his sling. And the scripture says as he ran toward Goliath and he turned one of those loose, and I do believe that God guided that. Now, I know David had practiced while he was out there guarding those sheep, watching those sheep. David had learned how to kill. He had chased off many a predator. But this time the Lord guided that stone right to the forehead of Goliath and he fell down. That was the path. That was the path that David had to walk, that he chose to walk for the Lord. He was willing to obey the Lord. He walked that path. 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Plain of Dura. Fall down and worship. When you hear the music, when you hear the sound of music, everyone is to bow down and worship this image that I, Nebuchadnezzar the king, have set up. King, there's 3 men that won't bow down. They just won't do it, king. Call them to me. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, did you hear the proclamation? Yes, we heard it. We're going to give you another chance. When you hear the music, bow down and worship. If you don't, I'm going to cast you into the burning fiery furnace. They said, King, we're not afraid to answer you in this matter. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this furnace. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not bow down nor worship the image which you have set up. Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. They played the music. He didn't bow down. He was furious. Call them to me. Grab the guards. Get the guards to grab these men. Grab these men. Brought them before the mouth of the fiery furnace. Heat it 7 times more than normal. Here are these men, folks. Naturally thinking, these men are doomed. These men are doomed. Naturally thinking, these men are doomed. They're about to be cast into this furnace and they will be burned up. Of course they will be. Isn't that the natural thing? This was the path that the Lord had for them to walk. It would be easy to have fear struck in your heart to stand there and look at that burning fiery furnace. But they had made a stand and they told the king, we will not bow down or worship the golden image. We just won't do it. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, but if not, be it known, King. But if, they said that, but if not, we just won't do it. So, throw them in. When they were thrown in, not only did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown in with their clothes on them. And the scripture tells us that it was so hot that the fire consumed the guards, the men that threw them in. But here are these 3 men standing and walking in the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And the king looked at that and said, didn't we throw 3 men bound in there? Bound, he said. But he said, I see 4 men walking. Their ropes were burned off, folks. I see 4 men walking. And the image of the fourth one looks like the Son of God. The path that the Lord had for them to walk was going to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. I said to you a little bit ago that there will be things, folks, that you and I will face in life that look absolutely impossible. And it will strike fear to your core. And there are things that only can be escaped by having a resolute mind and heart that I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't know where my path will lead. I don't know where it's going to take me. I don't know what I'm going to have to deal with as I go through life. But I do know this, that the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more into the perfect day. And as I continue to walk this path, and as the sun, or the light, if you will, comes up over the horizon into its zenith, then I am more able to see clearer, much clearer, the path that the Lord has for me to walk. And I'm able to navigate that path because of the light that is shining. And that's why the Lord told Nicodemus, "Don't marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again." We can't understand what the kingdom of God is unless we're born again. But once we accept that second birth, once we accept that rebirth, then we become children of the Father. And we're able to understand much more about the things of God. And we exercise faith and we exercise choice. We exercise will to choose those things that the Lord wants us to do in life. And we find as we do that the benefit. We find that Daniel, when he was told about the king's law, that any man that worships any god other than the king is going to be thrown in the lion's den. And the Scripture tells us that Daniel went to his place, went to his room, and he did just like he had done before. He opened his windows toward Jerusalem and he prayed. He prayed to God. And the people who had written the law saw him, and they went off tattletaling to the king. And the king went and arrested Daniel and brought Daniel down here. "Daniel, didn't you hear the proclamation? Didn't you hear the decree?" "I did hear it, king, but I can't. This is the God whom I love, whom I serve." So they threw Daniel into that lion's den. The Scripture tells us of that story. That night the king couldn't sleep. He didn't want any food. He didn't want any music. The Scripture tells us that the lions were very active most times. But not this night. They were quiet. The next morning, the king, anxious about Daniel's situation. Folks, when Daniel was thrown into that lion's den, he wasn't different than any other human being. He was a human being. The path led him right to the mouth of the lion's den. The path led him to be thrown into the lion's den. The path that God had for him was to bring him out of the lion's den. We don't always see the end of the path. So here is Daniel. And the king that comes to him that morning, "Oh, Daniel, is the God whom you serve able to deliver you from the mouth of the lions?" And from the den, a voice comes back, "O king, live forever. My God has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me." I'm not going to suggest to you that you will never find any physical harm as you go through life, because the truth of the matter is, folks, we hear testimonies and we read testimonies of many of our brothers and sisters in the Lord who suffer persecution because of their choice to claim Christ as their Savior and because of their unwillingness to recant. And they suffer physical harm because of that. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for ourselves. Lord, if that ever comes my way, may I have the determination. May I have the resoluteness to stand true for You, Lord. May I be in that place where I am willing to accept whatever comes my way, Father, just because I love You and I cannot afford to turn my back. I cannot afford to recant because I know in whom I have believed. I know in whom my faith is fixed. I can't afford to turn around and go another direction. The path sometimes is going to lead you into places that you wouldn't choose of your own, but it's the path of the Lord. Now, in the book of Psalms 23, this is a very familiar passage, of course, to us. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He leadeth me." The Lord leads His children, folks. He leads them all along the way. He leads you. He leads me. There will be things that you'll face in life that you wouldn't choose. You wouldn't want to have to walk through. But the path that the Lord allows you to walk will bring something to you beyond your ability to comprehend that you would never be able to get any other way by walking that path. You will learn things. You will have things brought to your attention by God, from God, as we mentioned before. And Sister Karen used to say to us, you can't put God into a box. We can't always choose the path. We can't always choose the outcome. But we can choose to be faithful and true and allow the Lord to direct us in the path that we have to walk. And as we walk that path and we walk through that path, the path of the justice has a shining light that shines more and more into the perfect day. It helps us to see the end of the thing, where the path will lead for us. I thank God for that. Now, I want to turn to the book of John. Chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, "Why have you not brought him?" These men were sent to arrest Jesus, bring him back to stand trial. They said, "Why haven't you brought him?" The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." Then answered the Pharisees, "Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus," you remember him? "Nicodemus saith unto them," he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, "Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he hath done?" They answered and said unto him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." And every man went to his own house. I believe it was about 3 years of time had passed from the time that Nicodemus had come to Jesus by night, about 3 years, and this occasion here. A lot of things can happen in 3 years, can't it? A lot of things can change in 3 years. I believe in this man Nicodemus' heart that the sun was continuing to rise. He had heard about this man Jesus. He had heard about the miracles that this man had done. He had heard about the eyes, blind eyes that were opened. He had heard about the lame who could walk. He had heard about the tongues that couldn't speak being loose, being able to speak again. He had heard about the seas that were calm. He had heard about how many people were fed with just a few loaves and fishes. He had heard about those kinds of things. And he had heard the reports coming back. And he remembered that night that he went to the Lord. And the Lord said, "Except you be born again, Nicodemus, you just can't see the kingdom of heaven." And I believe, I really do believe that Nicodemus, while he was a little bit scared because he came by night, I do believe that he had an honest heart and he was wanting to have some questions answered. And the questions that Jesus answered for that man that night began to shine a little ray of light inside of him. And as that light began to increase and grow, here he begins to see and hear about this man Jesus and see what it is that he has done and desiring the benefit, the path. The Lord had for him the path of the just is as a shining light. And as that light comes up over the horizon, it begins to take away. As I would sit in my place hunting, and that light comes up, and I realize that what I thought was there isn't there, because now the light is clear and I can see it. What I thought wasn't there is there, because the light is clear and I can see it. Those kinds of things that happen. Now there's something else with this man Nicodemus. Chapter 19. Verse 38. After Jesus had been crucified, still hanging on the cross. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. I believe when the light got really full and clear in Nicodemus' eyes, he was willing to be numbered. See, first he came to the Lord and he asked some questions. And Jesus said, "You must be born again." "I don't understand it, Lord. How can a man be born a second time? Can he enter into his mother's womb and be born a second time? I don't understand." "That which is of the flesh is flesh, Nicodemus. But that which is of the Spirit is Spirit." I expect those words rang in his mind. And then when they brought Jesus, they were trying to arrest him, and they came back empty-handed, and they were having their little council and conference together. It says, "Is it right for any man to be tried without being here? Is it right for us to do this to him?" And then when Jesus had been crucified, he went and took the body with Joseph of Arimathea. I believe at that point he was willing to be numbered with them. But it took some time, and it took the light shining clearly in his heart and his mind. Folks, one thing I'm so thankful for is that God is willing to have long-suffering to usward. Long-suffering. And He's doing everything that He can to help you and me along the way, to shine brighter light, to help us to see things that we couldn't see before, to help us to be led through paths where we wouldn't choose, to help us to have to walk through places that we wouldn't choose in our own mind, and to help us when we're in those places where it looks like there's no other way except for destruction, to continue to walk through that place and allow Him to make a path through that trial, through that affliction. He will do it. He can do it. He will do it. He'll make an opening for you when it seems there is no other way. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. God bless each one, folks. Let's stay on the path. It's the path that God has carved out for you, and it'll lead you into the way everlasting. Please pray for me. Amen.